7 months later, having handed a British force a stinging defeat at the Battle of Cowpens in South Carolina and captured 500 prisoners, one wing of the regular Continental Army is being chased by Cornwallis. This is the start of the race to the Dan. On Sunday, January 21, 1781, most of Brigadier General Daniel Morgan's Continental Army arrives and camps on the old battlefield. Morgan is hoping to get across the Catawba River and meet up with the main Continental Army and has sent a detachment north already with the prisoners. After two nights, they head toward the Catawba River fords, probably east along Sherrill's Ford Road. 2 days after Morgan leaves, Cornwallis's army arrives from Winnsboro, South Carolina, by way of the Tryon County Courthouse, northwest of modern Gastonia, and camps on both sides of Clark's Creek. Cornwallis orders his headquarters tent placed somewhere on the summit. After getting a tour of the battlefield from Reinhardt, Cornwallis supposedly remarks, "Moore had a good position, but did not know how to defend it." He notes that Moore made mistakes in letting the riflemen around his left flank and not concentrating his forces behind the woods on the hillside. For 3 days, the British forage the area for food, with Ramsar's mill running day and night to grind grain. One source says Cornwallis's men find a supply of leather in the mill, allowing them to repair shoes and carry extra soles. Cornwallis paid Reinhardt for the leather they took and cows they killed for food. He supposedly gave Faso £2, $400 today, and some tanning tools, which Faso kept the rest of his life. Cornwallis then orders his troops to burn most of their own wagons, parked at the mill, except for those holding ammunition, medicine, and salt, plus four empties for the sick or wounded. Some of the destroyed supplies are dumped in the mill pond. Cornwallis knows Morgan to be encumbered with his own wagon train and, he thinks, the prisoners, so he hopes to move faster to catch up. His troops will have to carry the bare necessities. As a historian points out, Morgan's force had covered 100 miles in 5 days, including two river crossings. When Cornwallis got here, he'd only covered 72 miles in 7 days and was 2 days behind. This was despite having left family members and other camp followers in South Carolina. The Continentals did not need the same supply train because Greene had established more than 20 depots in western North Carolina by January, typically with 3 days' worth of provisions, such as Colson's depot in the PD River. The British commander tries to set a good example, another historian writes. Cornwallis first ordered his splendid camp chest burned, his mahogany tea chest with the remainder of his tea, and six solid silver spoons he sent to Mrs. Barbara Reinhardt, wife of Christian Reinhardt, with a note requesting that she accept them. Marking perhaps as great a loss, where the whiskey and rum bottles were broken, the fragments lay in heaps for years. A British officer reported that as the rum was poured out, the men looked on sadly, but passively. No doubt, the single most disturbing line in Cornwallis's order for most of the men was, "The supply of rum for a time will be absolutely impossible." On the morning of the 28th, the British follow in the Continentals' bootsteps. Brigadier General Charles O'Hara later wrote about the decision, "In this situation, without baggage, necessaries, or provisions of any sort for officer or soldier, in the most barren, inhospitable, unhealthy part of North America, opposed to the most savage, inveterate, perfidious, cruel enemy, with zeal and with bayonets only, it was resolved to follow Greene's army to the end of the world." If you are still on the summit, follow the walking instructions under A Long Ride to Widowhood and then use its audio clip. Otherwise, continue to the clip under Casualties.